Thank you. All right. Take your Bibles. We're going to have a 30-minute sermon compressed into 15. Matthew chapter 5. Last week, I started this section here in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through to the end of that chapter. And just a real quick review, I believe that the Sermon on the Mount is really an introduction of how to live life in relationship with the King, in relationship with his heart for the world, and so that we can become ambassadors of reconciliation. And so as I read the Sermon on the Mount, I see it much more than just a charter of do's and don'ts of how we start to live, but I see it rather an introduction in us being the people prepared to take the message of God's love to a broken world. If we mess up in the principles of the Sermon on the Mount, we're going to be stumbling along as we go. But as we get this straight with understanding who our King is and his mercy and grace, we will have then something to share to a world, and we'll have an answer to the sin problem of how people's lives are messed up because of their confusion and distortion of what life is about. So, Matthew chapter 5, we saw last week in verses 33 to 37, the principle of keep your word. Don't embellish your conversation. Let yes be yes and no, no. And I believe one of the key purposes of that is so that you will be credible when you have something important to say to someone. And if someone asks you, how do I get to know God better? They can trust what you're going to say. And then the next section, verses 38 to 42, was go the second mile. Turn the other cheek. I believe that the Lord wants us to be kept free from, keep our relationships free from retaliation and revenge. And the purpose again is so that when you have a teachable moment with someone else, you don't have to be bogged down in the rut of your own judgments and your own criticisms and your own hardness of heart. But because you've kept your heart free from retaliation and revenge, you will be able to engage right away with people that you care about and that you want to share something truthful with. Now, let's go on to this last section in the chapter here about loving your enemies. And I want to read this. Verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Let's take a look at this passage quickly here this morning. Jesus springboards this section by quoting a verse from Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, which says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Now, we know that Jesus reviewed this and said this statement over in a number of different ways. For instance, one time when the religious leaders came to him and asked him, what's the greatest command? Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first command. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. Now, I am sure that as Jesus was introducing this small section in his Sermon on the Mount, and as he was saying, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, there was likely a lot of nodding going on. They can agree with that, because even though the passage from Leviticus really only said to love your neighbor, by inference, the religious people of Jesus' day thought it was only natural, if you love your neighbor, then you're going to hate your enemy. It just goes like an equation. It's a balancing thing. And so they could have been agreeing with him. But then Jesus drops the bomb on them and says, rather than hate and retaliate, you are to love your enemy. What? Love your enemy. Let's look at this momentarily. First of all, let's understand what the word enemy, that the title enemy, refers to here. The enemy that Jesus is using, the words he's using here, means more than just Oscar the Grouch next door. Enemy here is actually someone with the hateful intent to see your destruction. Okay, so it's an extreme concept of enemy. Now, I believe as well, it really means that, it's somebody who they may look like they're smiling at you, but deep inside, they have every intent against you. Jesus said, love that person. Now, let's look at the word love. There's two kinds of love mentioned here in this passage. There is love for likable people. If you love those who love you. Well, love like that is rather easy. It's a reciprocal feeling by which we appreciate and value another person because we approve of their character and their conduct. We love them because they love us. It's easy kind of love. But there's a second kind of love that Jesus refers to here, and that is love for unlikable people. And that kind of love is the intent to do well to another, even though you do not approve of their character and their conduct. This person will curse you and revile you. They may injure you or your property, and they may violate all the laws of God that you hold sacred. And though you disapprove of their conduct and may suffer by it, and though you may even be repulsed by the fruit of their choices, you decided ahead of time that you're still going to love them and that you're going to extend to them the blessings of what Christ's sacrifice and redemption means for them. It means you will speak kindly of that person and to that person, not firing back no matter what evil they throw at you. It's because you've decided ahead of time that their eternal destiny is more important than your getting even with them or even defending yourself. This is why, in this passage, Jesus uses the word agape. Agape. You shall love with God's kind of love your neighbor. To say it raised a few eyebrows is probably would be an understatement. Or to say at least it should have slapped him up on the side of the head and realized this is not just normal kind of relationships. This involves God being involved in how we relate to people. Now, for the Jewish nation, this was a tough thing because they lived under the iron grip of the Roman Empire. They lived in the adversarial struggle of kingdom against kingdom. And what Jesus was teaching them really was revolutionary. Now, he gave three specific examples of how to love your enemy. He said, for instance, bless those who curse you. How do you normally bless people? With your words, what you say to them in response when they curse you back. The second one is your actions. Do good to those who hate you. And then thirdly, your prayers. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Now, here's a quick thought. Which one of those three can you prepare ahead of time and take your time to work through? Your words in the moment, your actions, or your prayers? Which gives you the best time to practice? Your prayers. The way you pray for people gives you a chance to practice ahead of time. It gives you a chance to shape your heart and your attitude of how you will care and love your neighbor. I think of prayer as being like a blob of clay on a potter's wheel. And you can take that situation, that person, that issue that's going on, and turn your prayers into a beautiful vessel that will be a blessing. But you know, when you're doing something on the potter's wheel, you can make a mistake. And you can start over again. I find that when I'm praying for someone, when I start to see vengeance rise up in me and anger and frustration, start my prayers over again. And allow the Holy Spirit to give us the kind of love and affirmation that will be required so that when we do meet them face to face, what comes out represents the King and represents the reconciliation we have in Christ. Now, we know that the Father is gracious because it says here that he sends his rain and the Son on the just and on the unjust. God blankets this globe with what we need for health and for nourishment. He cares about every single person. He does this non-judgmentally, so therefore our attitude should be the same. And then it says here, there's no really special payback for this. For what reward? You know, what reward do you have for living this way? This is the way people of the kingdom of God are to live. And that there's no special reward for turning the other cheek or going the extra mile or loving your enemy. It's just who we are. It's how we present ourselves, how we relate to people. He said to the tax collectors and so on, they love those who love each other, but we live higher than that. And then Jesus gives the hammer. Verse 48, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And whoop! The bar just has gone way higher than what we could ever accomplish in our own personal attentions. Be perfect? Be perfect? As your Father in heaven is perfect? Now, I do not believe this means that we are sinless perfect, but what I believe it has to do with is being relationally perfect, growing in relational maturity and compassion and care for people. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, it says, whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. I think that's the kind of perfect we're talking about here, is how we care for and relate to people, those who love us in return, those who are still our enemies. So, is loving God's way easy? No, it's not at all. But I also want to challenge you with this. Is loving God's way passive? We could get the idea from this passage that we respond in a loving way when people approach us, okay? So, when we bless those who curse us. Okay, so they curse me. All right, I'll bless you in return. Or they hate us. Well, I'll do good in return. Or they spitefully use us and persecute us. All right, I'll pray for you. But here's what I'm getting as I read this passage and think about what it means to be an ambassador of Christ. And that is the reality that we cannot be passive in God's loving way. We can't just simply use the truth of the Sermon on the Mount to be civil to those who would want to be nasty to us. Instead, we have a message of hope and reconciliation to take to the world, to give to the world, a world that is really struggling right now. We know that there's a growing assault against biblical standards and faith, and it's becoming more and more outward. There's a growing percentage of our population that have no respect or time for Jesus and may even hate everything about him. And on a global scale, we're hearing of radical atheist and Islamic regimes who are anything but passive. These regimes are threatening attack and war against democracy and against the vestiges of Christian culture anywhere they can point their threats and their hypersonic missiles. The attack is coming. So when we pray in Matthew chapter 6, your kingdom come, your will be done, this is not a passive prayer. This is a prayer of intent. It's a prayer of intentionality, that we are a people with a message of God's love and the answer for sin that we should be taking to the world, to those who are enemies of the cross of Christ. So what is this kind of perfect love that we have to take? Well, it's the message of Jesus dying on the cross. It's the message that Jesus has for the world. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. It's a message that overcomes evil with good. That's why Paul could say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 15, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." And so it's expecting that by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the word of his grace in our lives and in our mouths, we are and able are will be able to share this love, God's kind of love, to the world around us. And that ahead of time, we decide that no matter whoever comes through these doors, whoever challenges on the street, whoever attacks us in social media, that we have decided ahead of time, their eternal destiny is more important than our personal comfort zone. And that we have a message of love in Christ to share with them. Is it easy? No. You ready, Natanya, with this song? There's a song that Casting Crowns has done that I looked at here the other day, and it just really spoke to my heart. This is the heart of what it means to be a son and daughter of the kingdom of God. Let's look at this together.
I can see the path you've chosen. We both know where this is going. I'm afraid of how your story's gonna end. And as scared to speak as I am, I know this could be my last chance to stand between you and forever's edge. Yeah, it would be easy to talk about the weather. It would be easy to look the other way. But I love you too much to not say something. Without the truth, my love means nothing. Sometimes love is anything but easy. Anything but easy. If I was trapped in a burning building, you would be the first one running, bursting through the flames to rescue me. I can see your walls are crumbling, so now I'm the one who's running to save you from the fire that you can't see. Yeah, it would be easy to talk about the weather. It would be easy to look the other way. Love you too much to not say something. Without the truth, my love means nothing. Sometimes love is anything but easy. Anything but easy. I can't paint your prison walls a brighter color. Never tell you of the one who set me free. I can't leave you locked in your chains any longer. So let me lead you to the one who holds the keys. It would be easy to talk about the weather. It would be easy to look the other way. Love you too much to not say something. Without the truth, my love means nothing. Sometimes love is anything but easy. Anything but easy. Anything but
so this passage here of the Sermon on the Mount about our relationships with people has a really in-depth meaning of how we live our lives and its purpose. And I don't feel prepared to do this naturally. In my own strength and whatever, I fail miserably. And I think most of you had that same kind of witness as well, same kind of story. But you know, Jesus comes and he promises to live inside of us and to care and to love and to reach out to people. If Jesus asked us to do it, then it must be possible. Possible because of his Spirit and his presence at work in us. Let's stand together as we conclude. And so, Father, we look at this passage of Scripture and it says that you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Lord, give us the kind of love, your kind of love, your kind of compassion, your kind of understanding for a world around us that is becoming increasingly hostile and yet is ever more lost. Lost and in their prisons and their chains. Oh, Father, thank you that you fill us with your Spirit and you give us the opportunity, Lord God, when we have prepared with the intent to love with your kind of love. And so, Lord, I just ask that you'll touch each one of us here with a fresh sense of, yeah, responsibility, but also with a sense of assurance that, Lord, you are walking with us and will guide us and lead us. And life is about the discovery of, Lord, opening our mouths and letting you give us the words to share. Is it going to be easy? No. But is it going to be, Lord, because of your near presence and the experience of your love? Yes. So, Lord, we pray your blessing on what's happening at Youth Unlimited and every opportunity that they use there to share the love of Jesus, the gospel message with young people. But God, we're partners together as ambassadors here in this community, in this region. Lord, this week, by your grace, give us, Lord God, this opportunity as well. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, guide and direct each one of us here. We honor and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for coming today. And if you want to talk to Marnie or Sarah, please do that. If you'd like